Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you joining me today as we're wrapping up Holy Week together. And this has been a beautiful week. It's been a beautiful journey to this day, a culmination of the Christian life. Today, Good Friday, the day when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. We remember it. We commemorate it. We enter into his passion in a particular way. And I just want to encourage you today. Obviously, you're listening to this right now, but maybe as much as you can, you know, try to stay off of music, try to stay off of phones, try to stay off of, you know, in any way that you can, just try to stay off technology, just try to live a really simple way of life today so that we can really be in silence. Really be in silence. You know, one of the church fathers talking about Holy Saturday, you know, after Jesus was crucified, has this line that says, "The world reigns in silence today because death has taken the Son of God," right? Because there's not the resurrection yet. And I want to just encourage you today to live in the reality of the cross, to live in the reality of Jesus's death on the cross, and to live in that moment. And it's so easy at this time to move forward to Holy Saturday, to move forward to the resurrection, to move forward to Easter, but to just stay in this place with Jesus. And today, I just want to take the time as we go through these readings to meditate on the cross, to meditate on the crucifix, that the crucifixion of Jesus is this reality that turns reality on its head. And it's a way that the Father comes and we see what's important to God. We see how God confounds the ways of the world. And it says the cross of Christ will be a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block to the wise. It strips us. The cross of Christ strips us of our sensibilities, of what's powerful, of what's glorious, of what's majestic. Because today, friends, our King hangs on a cross. And we want to allow the Holy Spirit to take us there. And whatever it means, even as you're listening to this intro, friends, if that means you shutting off this show right now and driving in silence, if that means whatever it means for you to go there with the Lord, to say, "Lord, reveal to me the foolishness and the wisdom of the cross." And a prayer for me this Lent has been the prayer of Paul to say, "I want to know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified." That here, friends, we have reached the center, the suffering and death of our Lord. And so let's go ahead and we're going to begin, and we have a lot to get to in our readings today. And we have a beautiful little reflection again from the church fathers. And we're not going to read through the whole passion because it's kind of long and we know what happened, you know. And so we're going to focus on the other readings today, and you're going to read through that if you go to Good Friday service today. But I want you to just join me in prayer, and we're going to begin in Isaiah 52. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, today, 2,000 years ago, you entered into your passion. You suffered and died for us. You took on taunts, you took on being disowned by those who loved you, you were despised, rejected, and you took it in submission to your Father, and you became obedient even unto death on a cross. And we know that therefore God highly exalted you, but we see today the exaltation of the cross. That you on the cross are lifted high. And although you look beaten and bruised, and it looks like we're losing, it looks like you lost to the evil one, but we know that this is the place of victory. So Jesus, take us there with you. In a special way, take us there with you today. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isaiah 52, I want to read this first part. "See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond human semblance, and his appearance beyond that of the sons of man. So shall he startle many nations. Because of him kings shall stand speechless. For those who have not been told shall see. Those who have not heard shall ponder it. Who would believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him, no appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned and avoided by people, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom people hid their faces, spurned, and yet we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our suffering that he endured, while we thought of him as stricken, one as smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. By his stripes we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent and opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away, and who would have thought any more of his destiny? When he was cut off from the land of the living and smitten for the sins of the people, a grave was assigned for him among the wicked and a burial place among the evildoers, though he had done no wrong nor spoken any falsehood. But the Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. I'm going to keep going and finish this. I know this is a long reading, but I'm going to keep going because it's so beautiful. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt shall he bear. Therefore, I will give him his portion among the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty. Because he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked. And he shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for their offenses. Friends, we can meditate on this all day long. And actually, I want to stay here. Because the Holy Spirit is here giving us a revelation of Jesus. And this is so beautiful. In the first couple lines says, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted, even as many were amazed at him. So marred was his look beyond human semblance. He shall startle many nations, and because of him, the kings of the earth shall stand speechless. Think about this. Jesus, by the time he got to the cross, he was so badly beaten that you couldn't even recognize him. He had so many blows. It was revealed to St. Bridget of Sweden in a private revelation that was approved by the church, a private revelation, a private devotion to her, that the Holy Spirit revealed to her that Jesus had 5,380 is the number, 5,380 wounds, that he was beyond semblance. No human being could recognize him. But he shall be raised up and highly exalted him. When he was raised up on the cross beyond resemblance, they couldn't see him. This one who had shot up, the Son of Man, like a sapling before him. He bore our infirmities, our suffering he endures. He was afflicted by God. The whole weight of our sin crushed him. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Who would have thought any more of his destiny? But because of his affliction, the kings shall stand speechless before him. Because of him, says, he surrendered him to death. He will be counted great. Friends, we look at the crucifixion and the cross is greatness to God. The cross is glory to God. The cross is this place of glory. I heard this in a sermon the other day. You know, James and John, they're like, hey, Jesus, can we sit at your right and your left in glory? We want to be great in the kingdom of God. And I loved the pastor that I heard this from. He said they were recognizing the greatness of Jesus, that Jesus is great, but they were recognizing the wrong time that his greatness would come about. And he says, James and John, can you drink the cup that I will drink, the cup of wrath, the cup of affliction? And so we see Jesus on the cross in his place of glory. It says, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. And in this place of crucifixion, many will be amazed by him. And who's on his right and his left? Two obscure criminals that nobody knows. And Jesus is seated in this place of glory on the cross. It's confusing. It's confounding to us. But I love from St. John Chrysostom, he has this beautiful sermon on the cross. And he says, the cross has become the cause of countless blessings for us. By it, we who once were dishonored and slaves have now become sons. By it, we are no longer in error, but we know the truth. By it, we who once worshipped wood and stones have come to know the Creator of all. By it, we who were slaves of sin have been brought into the freedom of righteousness. By it, the earth has become heaven. It has delivered us from error, dispelled our darkness, reconciled us to God, made enemies into friends, and brought those who were far away near. This is what the cross has done. Friends, we cannot enter into life without the cross. And today, Jesus, the King, who right now sits in glory with his Father, entered into the human race and has been crucified, has been raised up on the most humiliating form of torture that man has ever seen. And he took your sin and your shame on the cross, and it was nailed to the cross with him, and he was marred beyond belief. And every nation on earth, every king of the earth will look upon the one who was scorned, the one who the devil thought would die in obscurity. And what will be communicated is, this is the place of greatness for our King. This is the place of glory for our King, that as he hung on the cross, all nations are justified in him. As he hung on the cross, he submits to the will of the Father, and he is crushed in your place. He did it for you. The cross has become the cause of our glory. Friends, this is the place of greatness for the Christian. So today, on this Good Friday, where do you find yourself? Are you hiding in your shame, in your condemnation? Or are you at the foot of the cross with our Lord, standing in awe and amazement at our King of glory? We look at the crucifix and it's confounding, because to the world it says this is a symbol of defeat. And we say, yeah, it's a symbol of defeat, the defeat of the worldly principalities and power. On the cross, Jesus is humiliated, but in his humiliation, he humiliates the powers of the devil. And so today, as you meditate on Jesus' death and resurrection and silence and suffering, find yourself kissing his feet at the foot of the cross and ask him, Jesus, how can we enter into your glory through suffering? God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.